Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and happy 2022. I am so excited to have you joining me for today's episode. I'm Sarah Powers, and today I'm flying solo without my co-host Megan Francis because it is the first Friday of the month. That's typically when Megan and I take turns chatting with a guest, or in today's case, multiple guests. Today's episode is perfect for the new year. My guests and I are going to be talking about how we approach planning. So paper versus digital, our own personal and work planning versus like keeping the family calendar organized, and all the tools and resources that keep us on track. So just a little backstory here. I have two guests today, both longtime friends of the podcast. One of them, Sarah Hart Unger, is returning for the third year in a row to be my January guest in this Voices interview series. Sarah is a total whiz at all things planning and goal setting, and she and I always have a ton of fun. So she's become kind of my returning sidekick for the New Year episode. And then my plan this year was to bring on two more of my favorite internet friends who are also geniuses when it comes to organization and productivity. So that's Christine Coe of the Edit Your Life podcast and also BostonMamas.com, and Kelsey Wharton from the Girl Next Door podcast. So we booked a time to record. We all got really excited about this roundtable of planning and productivity. But then Kelsey couldn't make our recording session because she was under the weather. So the episode you'll hear today is Christine and Sarah and I, and we had a total blast. I can't wait for you to listen. I actually can't imagine how long this episode would have become with another guest in the mix. And so even though we missed Kelsey, I think today's conversation is going to leave you feeling excited and inspired for 2022. And so this story has a happy little ending, friends, because now Kelsey is feeling better. And I still wanted to get her answers to the same questions I discussed with Christine and Sarah on today's podcast. So lucky for all of us, Kelsey has agreed to join me for a special Instagram Live next week where she and I will talk about how she manages planning and goal setting as an at-home mom of 3 young kids. If you're already following the Mom Hour on Instagram, look for Kelsey and me to be live Monday of next week. So that's January 10th. And, you know, right now in the world, making plans is a bit of a gamble. So if you don't see us that day, trust that we'll get it scheduled sometime very soon. But as of this recording, that is the plan. Monday, January 10th, Kelsey and me live on Instagram, talking about the very same topics you'll hear Sarah and Christine and I talk about in the episode. If you are not following us yet on Instagram, we are just at the Mom Hour, and we would love to have you join our community there. We'll make sure to link up that live chat here in the show notes for this episode after it airs. So if you're listening to this, you know, later into January, you can also access that link right here in the description show notes for this episode. Okay, enough with the backstory. Thanks for sticking with me there. If you are not familiar with today's guests, I want to briefly introduce them to you. Christine Coe is an author, podcaster, and all-around internet unicorn who has become a dear friend of mine over the years and goes way, way back with Megan as well. You know Christine's voice from the Edit Your Life podcast, and you've probably read her words online all over the internet, including at her popular site, BostonMamas.com. And then Sarah Hart Unger is a full-time physician with 3 young kids who also blogs and podcasts part-time and gets it all done because of her planning prowess. She hosts a podcast all about planning called Best Laid Plans, and she co-hosts the podcast about working motherhood, Best of Both Worlds, with her co-host Laura Vanderkam. Okay, friends, I'm so happy to have you here with me for the very first Voices interview episode of the new year. We are going to take a quick break to introduce you to today's episode sponsors, and then please enjoy my conversation with Christine Coe and Sarah Hart Unger.
Sarah, we have shared before that when it comes to tackling big, scary topics with our kids, you and I both take an early and often approach to family conversations. Our sponsor, Safer Kids Online, is a great resource for helping parents do that about technology. Safer Kids Online is an initiative created for parents by parents from the internet security company ESET.
I think when our kids are really little, sometimes parents have an instinct to just keep the door shut when it comes to allowing in the internet and all the scary stuff that's out there. But as kids get older, especially once they get into school, you start to realize that learning together is really the best way to protect them.
Yeah, Sarah, no matter how old your kids are, Safer Kids Online has articles about child internet safety written by actual security experts. I found an article on quality apps for kids that I think our listeners would seriously love. They give specific examples of safe apps for art, coding, reading, and more. And there are even free guides for parents to download. If you want to sleep peacefully knowing your children are protected online and get some tips for talking about their online lives in a healthy way, check out saferkidsonline.eset.com for expert internet safety advice. That's saferkidsonline.eset.com. We are introducing a new sponsor, Fuzzy, today. Sarah, I've talked about our family dog, Moxie, on the show throughout the years, and I'm sure I've shared a few stories about her food obsession. I mean, she is really motivated by food, specifically human food, and she will go to great lengths to get it. Over the years, this has led to a few stressful situations when she's gotten into something and I wasn't sure if it could hurt her. Often that's happened after her vet's office was closed, and it would have been so nice to be able to rely on a service like Fuzzy to help me figure out what to do next.
Megan, I have totally been there too, and I love this concept. Fuzzy is a telehealth service for pet parents that offers 24/7 access to personalized pet care from veterinary professionals. You can use it for those emergencies you mentioned, Megan, but also for more everyday questions like why your dog's breath stinks or why my dog is suddenly marking his territory when he's never done that before. And they can offer the right products for your pet, handpicked by Fuzzy's established team of professionals and available at discounts exclusive to Fuzzy members.
Right now, Fuzzy is offering our listeners a free 7-day trial plus $20 off your first purchase of vet-recommended pet meds, supplements, treatments, and more. Go to yourfuzzy.com and use promo code TheMomHour to get started. That's a free 7-day trial plus $20 off your first purchase at yourfuzzy.com using promo code TheMomHour. That's yourfuzzy.com, promo code TheMomHour.
Okay, I am here with Christine Coe and Sarah Hart Unger, and I am just so excited to have you both here. I have shared in the intro a little bit about you and what you do, but I would love for you both to introduce yourselves to our listening audience. And Christine, we can start with you. Just tell everybody where you live and what you do for work and how old your kids are. I think this is kind of relevant when we're going to get into talking about goal setting and planning, because someone with toddlers at home, for example, is in a very different life stage than someone with teenagers and tweens. So Christine, tell us about yourself.
Yes. Well, hello. And I have a huge smile on my face talking to both of you today. So thank you so much for welcoming us onto the show, Sarah. I am based in Boston. I do a lot of things for work, but I guess I'll just say that I'm a creative director, podcaster, author, speaker, just person who does a lot of things on the internet. I actually have internet unicorn on my business card, so I feel like that kind of just summarizes it. And I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 17-year-old who will be heading to college next fall, so OMG.
OMG is right. I
love it. For a separate episode.
Seriously, we will have you back to talk about that later in the year. And Sarah, tell us about you and your family.
Yeah. So my name is Sarah Hart Unger. I am in South Florida in Cooper City, which is kind of a suburb of both Fort Lauderdale and Miami. I have three kids, ages 4, almost 8, and almost 10. And I am a practicing physician. I'm a pediatric endocrinologist. And I also run our pediatrics residency program in Hollywood.
That is something, because I think internet people, Sarah, know you as also a podcaster. And I shared that in the intro, of course, that you co-host Best of Both Worlds, and you have an entire podcast about planners and planning, which I know we'll get into, but your full-time job is as a physician. So I just think that's really cool. Christine, we should say that you also have an honorific at the front of your name. So I am here with two doctors today.
Although, I don't know, my dad always, his little like dig about my honorific, which is it's a PhD, is that I couldn't prescribe medicine, any medicine, so really how useful was I?
I mean, I just think it's very cool that both of you have that honorific, and I'll take it in all forms today. So yay. Okay, well, listeners mostly know me already, but just to join in the fun, I live in Santa Barbara, California. I work nearly full time, so I would say a flexible 30 to 40 hours a week. And I do that running this here little podcast business with my business partner, Megan Francis. And my kids are 13, 11, and very soon to be 9. Well, we're going to dive in to talking about some of the tools and resources that all three of us love when it comes to planning and goal setting and all the nerdy things.
So I want to start with the physical. And by that, I mean paper and pens and notebooks and I don't know, anything that you hold in your hand or carry from your office to your dining room, as I am constantly doing. So maybe we could each just share a few favorites. And Sarah Hart Unger, I am going to start with you because you literally have the podcast about paper planners. So please take it away.
Yes, I love planning on paper. I don't exclusively plan on paper, but I greatly enjoy the medium, the sensory aspects of it, as well as the way I feel like it connects kind of more deeply to parts of my brain when I'm trying to plan ahead. So I guess I'm not going to share my entire paper armistice. If you're interested in that, definitely check out a recent episode of my podcast that's on my planner stack for 2022. But my like daily go-to workhorse paper planner product right now is the Full Focus Planner, which is a daily planner that has a full page for each day, as well as a notes page on the right. And I just really love the layout and the paper. I find it very pleasing to use. And it's great when you have kind of a schedule that you want to put together, but also want to figure out how to fit your various to-dos and priorities in with that schedule.
Can I jump in with a quick follow-up just because I need a visual?
Yeah.
Can you roughly describe like what the shape and size of this paper planner? Because I think daily pages and I think like big and heavy.
It's a quarterly planner. So it does not have enough pages for the entire year. You replace it each quarter, which I really enjoy as well because there's that fresh start aspect of it. And I hesitate to use the, like A5 because the listeners to this podcast may be like, what is that? But I'm going to guess it's probably 6 by 9 inches, something like that. It's not a gigantic book and it's a spiral book. So it's not small. They have both spiral and like a hardback version. I really like the spiral because that way it takes up less desk real estate and I can look at one side at a time. But it's not a big behemoth, even though it's a daily book, because it only carries 3 months worth of your year.
That makes sense. Okay, keep going. I didn't mean to cut you off.
So that would be my go-to paper product right now. And then you asked about other little tools. So I felt I might as well share my favorite go-to pens, which if you like gel pens, I know a lot of people love the Papermate Flares and the InkJoys, but you might want to check out the Pentel Energel series. And I specifically like the Klenna ones, which I think come from Japan. They have different sizes. I personally like the 0.4, but it just glides across so many different kinds of paper. So that's my pen rec. And then finally, my other physical product isn't a planner, but my family is very dependent on a visual whiteboard that we fill out every single week. Well, we fill it out every single week that it's not like vacation time, because ironically, right now it's empty as we're recording this because for winter break, there wasn't as much going on. But normally every week that school's in session, it has like the days Monday through Friday. And I put like what's for dinner and who has what activity when. And, you know, if who's driving the kids to school, because we have a nanny and like it really varies who's dropping off, who's picking up, depending on everybody's schedule. And if I don't have that done, everyone in my house is very stressed out. So this is a physical item that really helps keep the family organized.
Yeah. Well, you know, our family is addicted to the whiteboard. I've created a family of like whiteboard addict monsters accidentally. But my question is, how big is this whiteboard and where does it hang in your house?
It's actually in a hallway, okay. The way our house is laid out. And it's pretty prominent. As you walk in the door, you see that as you're walking into the main room. I actually have two. One of them, and it's pretty large. It's the Erin Condren one, and they only sell one size. So it's whatever the default large size is. And I apologize, I don't have the exact dimensions. But the one that gets the heavy use is basically laid out like a weekly calendar. So there's 8 boxes. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and on the bottom, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All those boxes have like big wide lines to write in. And then on the bottom right is a blank one where you could put like groceries that we have to pick up or something like that. And then I have another one next to it that's kind of more of like a behavior / chore chart. That one doesn't get as heavy use. We fade in and out on that one.
I love all of those things. And I love just the peek into your family's physical like organizing life. So Christine, my hunch is that you are more heavily digital like I am, but I know everything you touch is lovely. And I've seen pictures of your office. So I'm so curious where you're going to go with this answer. And again, it doesn't have to be paper planners. It could be any physical tools that help you feel, you know, like an organized boss lady.
Yeah. Well, first I need to say I'm feeling incredibly inspired hearing Sarah talk. And I'm going to just boss you to make sure that you, in your show notes, add yes. lots of lovely affiliate links so people can support your show while they shop for their Pentel Energel Cleanas or whatever. So that being said, yes, I think personally for me, just as a working person, when it just involves me, I'm 100% digital. But for my family, we are 100% paper, mostly because this is just what evolved. Sometimes great inventions come from meltdowns. That's an ancient Korean proverb I just made up. So what happened, this was years ago, and I was, like many moms, the gateholder of all the calendar things. People would come to me because they would need to know what was happening. And I had like a colossal meltdown. And I was like, I cannot hold all the things. And so I think actually my husband, John, who Sarah Powers knows as a therapist and has solutions for all manner of problems, logistical and otherwise, logistical and emotional. But he said, why don't we just kind of like have like a big, you know, piece of paper and draw a calendar on it, like really old school, mm-hmm. and put it in the kitchen and put it on the door to the basement. So it's one place for everyone. So what has evolved over the years is a big piece of poster board where it. I draw a multi-month calendar. And the other part of the reason this evolved is John is not digital. I could not get him to accept my Google Cal invites or adopt it.
Reject. Yeah.
Like just flat out ignore. Nothing.
John has not responded to your invite, I feel like.
He has not. No. So this actually ended up working out great. And so once a quarter, basically, I draw, this is my like ability to tune into my the tactile elements that Sarah was just talking about, but I literally grab a ruler, a pencil, and a Sharpie, and I draw the boxes. And I just finished the one, for the first quarter of 2022. I can get 13 weeks, an entire quarter on one piece of poster board. And for us, actually, that big picture, I'm so interested in the sort of idea of like week by week planning versus, you know, months at a time. But for us, as a family, it helps with the big picture, especially because we were talking before we got on the air officially. But, you know, in the winter we ski. And so just having some of those landmarks, being able to see them in front of us on a longer runway really helps.
I totally agree. And I often need that zoom out, whether it's digital or physical. I it's like I always refer back to the line from Friends where Joey is in a city and he's holding a map and he says, I need to get in my map. And he puts it down on the sidewalk so he can orient it like pointing the right way. And then he physically gets in it. And that's how I feel about a calendar. Like I have to get in it. And usually that means that quarterly zoom out view. So Christine, I totally relate. I didn't know that about you. And you're so artistic and the things that you do are so beautiful visually that it just makes me so happy that you use that for like toward family calendar planning. I love it so much.
That's so interesting. You have that interpretation because the thing that I've struggled and maybe the other Sarah will answer, have a solution for me. But the thing I struggle with about paper planners is my handwriting is terrible. Yeah. I want to have like the Martha Stewart feature handwriting, you know, when somebody's, you know, articulating a beautiful label and the handwriting looks perfect. Mine is not like that. And that is one reason I haven't been able to adopt a sort of daily written, tracker, because it just, I just feel so sad about my handwriting.
Okay. Well, that you set me up perfectly because I was going to weigh in on my physical tools. And that was my first comment is I struggle with loving paper and physical planning tools. Not only because I have bad handwriting, but in large part also because I have bad handwriting, so we can add that to our list of like secret lost twins, Christine, you and me. Yes. Bad handwriting. You're not a lefty, are you?
I'm not a lefty. I just, it's just really bad. Yeah.
And Sarah, you are not a lefty, are you?
I am a lefty I have good handwriting.
This blows all my theories because another lefty problem I have had is anything with a spiral bind is hard for me to get around as a lefty. But I'm going to set that aside because Sarah, you have clearly solved that. And none of my lefty theories hold up here. Okay. I do struggle with loving physical tools. And part of it is because I have terrible handwriting. I'm also very inconsistent with like where and how I write things down on pen and paper. I love the idea of physical office supplies. Like, you know, as a kid, like shopping in the drugstore at the notebooks and the back to school. Like, I do have that romanticized love of office supplies, but then I never use them as purposefully as I use my digital tools. Like, if you were to peek behind the curtain of my digital organized life, it would be as expected. It's like very type A, color coded, but the physical manifestation never lines up. So that's why I'm primarily digital. That said, I have a couple favorites. Christine, so interesting. You said that you make your quarterly at a glance family calendar, because I have a great small business, mom owned business called The Essential Calendar. And pretty much all they do is print these poster sized 3 month view of the year. I get the summer one every year and I hang it in a poster hanger, like the kind where there's like a little wooden bar across the top and bottom and the rest just hangs on the wall. So it looks pretty. And then they sell these cool pens and little washi tape that you can, you know, make it look so pretty. I only do that in the summer, but they sell them for all year round. So that's called The Essential Calendar. It's a small business. And of course, we'll link to all of this in the show notes. I have always loved Moleskine softbound notebooks in the kind of 8x10-ish size. They lay really flat when you open them. And I've had just journal types or bullet journal types. This past year, I had one that did have some calendar pages. I like the size and the soft cover, the flexibility of those. So that's another physical tool I've gone back to. And then another one that's not exactly planning and organizing related, but it has helped so much since pandemic Zoom time took over. And that is a laptop stand that elevates my computer to a good camera height. And I have like four or five in my house because at one point all the kids were doing school online and it really helped them to be able to look right in the camera. So I thought I'd throw it in there because it's a physical object I use every day in my work life, even if it's not totally planner or calendar related. So, all right, well, we're going to go right into digital tools. And Christine, I am going to start with you because everything I do, I learn from Christine Coe in the realm of digital organization. So talk about any apps or gadgets or websites or even like a specific feature of maybe a well-known app or website that really helps you stay organized.
Sure. Well, it's so interesting too with the pandemic, like the apps that used to be on my primary screen have evolved over time. And I would say the three things that I use most often are, anything Google related, calendar, Drive, email. Obviously, that's how I keep everything organized and content wise. Grocery planning. I just like have the apps for where I'm going to do curbside pickup and I just add stuff, any groceries that I need as I go, so I don't have to think about them. But the big one that I wanted to talk about, and Sarah, you and I have talked about this one a lot, is Todoist. It's a yes. To-do app. And just three main things that I want to call out on that is that I talk about this a lot, I feel like, but I really struggle with holding things in memory. I think I just have too many things I'm thinking about. And so I'm not a person who can hold like 7 to 10 things in my memory and know that I'm actually going to remember them. So I am constantly recording to-do lists on the fly. I'll just open the app and, you know, anything I need to remember, I'll type in there. But also I find that I have a lot of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And anyone who follows me on Instagram knows I often write kind of long form. They're kind of like micro essays on Instagram. Sort of weird, but that's just where I do it. And most of the times I'm composing them in Todoist in the comments. Then I'll copy it into an Instagram post. So weirdly, I do actually quite a lot of content writing in the comments on Todoist, which seems to me like maybe a little weird, but I don't know. It works for me.
I do that too, just so you know.
Okay. Okay. Because, you know, we're sisters from another mister. This is how it goes. The other, and I don't know if these two features are the paid version. That is what I use. But one of the lifesavers for me, you know, as we said as I mentioned at the top of the episode, I have a lot of hats that I wear, a lot of projects I run, just a lot of things. So the ability to set up recurring to-dos, because there are to-dos I have to do daily, I have to do them weekly, I have to do them every other day. It has just saved so much mental energy from me, whether it's remembering work to-dos, keeping on top of projects, or like, you know, if you have a dog and you have to give them medication once a month or once every 3 months, I just plug it in as a recurring item and then I never forget and everybody's happy. And then the last thing I wanted to mention again, I'm not sure if this is paid or available in the free version, but One of the huge time savers for me is that, as I mentioned, the comments, which I often draft stuff in, but for each recurring to-do item, or even if it's a non, you know, a one-off item, if there's an associated email or Google Drive files or whatever, I add those links to the comments. So whenever, say, I'm going to, you know, it's time to prep the show notes for my next podcast episode, the link is right there. I don't have to dig for anything. It just makes everything very streamlined and easy. And just a little side thing. At some point, this was years ago, Todoist reached out to ask if they could do a feature on me and Asha for their blog, my former podcast co-host. Uh-huh. And I was like, I feel like I've arrived. Todoist and I are now talking directly.
I love it so much. I will admit that I have reached out to them recently just because we have a lot of listeners in our community, because you got me onto it. I got Sarah Hart Unger onto it, and half our listener community, because I've been talking about it on the show and I was on Sarah's podcast. And I did reach out to them just because I feel like we should collaborate to do it.
Yeah, right here.
And I'll just add that for anyone on the fence about it, even if you are not working outside the home or don't run 14,000 businesses like Christine Coe, household management, recurring tasks, things like you said, giving the dog medicine, or I have these plants that I water every 10 days. And it's such a weird frequency, right? But I just type in once, water these plants every 10 days. And every 10 days, I don't have to remember if it's a Tuesday or a Friday, because it just cycles through every 10 days. So I think for household management, Todoist works equally well, and I use it for both work and personal. Christine, I wanted to circle back to something you said about grocery list planning, because you live in a city and you do grocery delivery mostly. Are you saying that you have a separate app for ordering and planning your food and groceries, or do you just mean you have like Instacart open in a tab?
Yeah, well, I use either curbside pickup at a store called Wegmans.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have Wegmans where you are, but, or the other option is I use Shipt to do, Target deliveries.
Okay.
So those are the two main things. And every now and then I'll pop into the grocery store, but now that's just made my life a ton easier. So those are the ones I leave open.
I love it. I didn't know if you had like a separate meal planning app or grocery planning app, because that's another thing I know our listeners get very interested in, and I'm not a good resource in that area.
Yeah. So. I wish I was that organized, but I'm not.
Well, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, Sarah, it is your turn to talk about digital tools. And since you really do favor paper planning, I'm so curious how digital kind of overlaps with what you do on paper.
Yeah, I do plenty that's digital. I mean, to be fair, when I'm doing my clinical work, it's all digital. Like, nothing's on paper anymore. So I'm comfortable in both worlds. I just am not ready to give up. There's something I like about filling out that daily page or tracking certain metrics on paper. As I'm not going to go into Todoist too much, since I can't believe Christine is also a user as well. So yes, I do agree you should collaborate, but I do find that to be a great tool. And I only started using it because of you. So thank you for that. Actually, I'll mention one use I found for it that was fun, which is that I used it to put like my, you know, Gretchen Rubin's like 22 for 2022 or whatever. I did that in Todoist because I felt like that was a place where I'm not going to forget it, versus if I buried it in some paper notebook, there's a chance that I would like move on to another notebook and then would never see it again. So I thought that would be a fun way to incorporate that. So Todoist, but I also am a huge fan of Apple Notes, like that old school, you know, little notepad thing that comes with your phone or a laptop. I am on Apple across all platforms, at least not at work, but like all my home stuff is Apple. So that, you know, obviously your mileage may vary if you are an Android person or you use other devices. But I love it. It's my digital filing cabinet. I mean, I use it for everything from when I get an email that has a question for one of my podcasts. I have like folders for that. I use it for my kids when they get their medical form. I know I'm going to need to like refer to that. And sometimes it can be hard to, I guess I could just email it to myself and pull it up in Gmail, but it's easier to just kind of save it as a file. When my husband gets his work schedules, I like save that screenshot of that into notes. So I just use it as like an ongoing organized dumping ground.
Right. Like a digital, like truly like a digital file cabinet that you can access from either device. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So I use that a lot and I really, really like it. Yeah, I guess those are my main digital go-tos right now.
Well, I love it. And this does kind of, again, set me up, because one thing I wanted to talk about was where Apple and Google meet, which is not always so friendly in my life. And I happen to know, Christine, you are Android and Google everything. And Sarah, sounds like you are Apple everything. And I truly am like a half and half. But this is, I guess, for those listening who have been confused or who use both and aren't sure, Google is the engine of everything I do. Gmail, Drive, like you said, Christine, calendars, and I prefer it as a like as that engine running in the background. But my computer and my phone are Apple, and there are some things I like visually about Apple's calendar app, especially on the Mac on the computer. And so just letting everybody know, it is totally possible to opt out of everything iCloud. Nothing is iCloud. I don't, no offense, Apple, but I don't trust Apple for anything cloud-based or like iCloud, iCloud document storage. I don't pay for it. I opt out of literally all of it because it's all, the same is all possible through Google, and I just prefer Google. That said, on my desktop, the Mac calendar app, like the one that just comes on your Mac, pulls all of my Google-based calendars, and I can toggle them on and off, and I can color code them. So for me, any digital tool that allows me to opt in or out to seeing the merge of my work and personal lives. So this morning I was doing some personal calendar planning for 2022, and I just toggled off all of the work stuff. And so then I was looking at a clean digital view of stuff that only included the family. I could easily do the opposite, or I could see it all. And that is true on the daily view, the weekly view, on my phone, on my computer. So just a little vote for it can feel like Apple and Google, and you know, I'll throw Microsoft and whatever other engines you're using maybe for work. Like they don't play well sometimes together. And often that's true, but to me it's been really worth it to find a way for Google to be the engine running everything in the background, but to stick with my Mac and my iPhone, both of which I love, and have them able to sort of display what I need in a way that I like to see it. So I don't even think that's a tip or a hack. It's just like, it's something that works for me. I'm going to mention one more Todoist thing that has been really joyful and fun for me in the last year. And that is that I use Instagram a lot, as I know, Christine, you do. And Sarah, I have a feeling you said you're taking a break coming up, but for those who do love Instagram, I often save Instagram posts that I like because I'll see a recipe. I'll see like an event coming up that I want to support or who knows what it is. So I'll click that little save button. And the old problem was I never, ever went back to look at those saves. I completely forgot that I had ever saved them. So now I have a weekly recurring Todoist task that pops up on Saturday mornings for me to review my Instagram saves. And I do it for both the Mom Hour Instagram and my personal. And it takes me 6 minutes to go through, see what I saved. And then I create whatever action item is needed from there. Like, oh, that's right. I wanted to like try this new restaurant with Brian and the kids. Well, then that then becomes a task of its own. But that's just a little example of how Todoist has helped me systematize other things that were already happening in my life, but I didn't have a good way to like capture them or be more intentional about them. So I don't know. That was a lot. I'll open the floor if either of you have any other like digital things that came up while we were chatting.
I'm just going to say that's super hot, Sarah. But but I would also say that, you know, all this is very nitty gritty. So I'll just toss in one last recommendation is that one of the other things I do is design things. I love design. And yeah. Color code your things. So like you can color code in Todoist, you can color code your calendar things in Google. Whenever I'm building a project planner in Google, you know, in Google Sheets, It's rainbow color coded. Like these are the little things and they make a difference. So I would highly recommend leaning into color as you plan your things.
I would agree. And Sarah, don't you think it's the same for physical? Like that's one thing that crosses over paper and digital.
No, it's a nice way of bringing that kind of artistic touch if you're using digital options. So I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. All right, we are going to take a quick break and we're just going to keep going. When we come back, it'll be a little less tactical and a little bit more forward-looking as we all think about the new year. So we'll be right back. Megan, we are welcoming back PocPoc Playroom as a sponsor today. I love this company. It's an iOS app for ages 2 to 6 that's basically a digital playroom filled with imaginative, open-ended toys for your kids. It's inspired by actual playrooms, so it's less like a game and more like just a lovely play space, only on one of your iOS devices. PocPoc is also super sensory friendly. The sounds are calm and the hand-drawn illustrations are slow and gentle. I think we could all use a bit of that right now, right?
Right. PocPoc Playroom doesn't require Wi-Fi or data, except when you first download, of course. So it works in the car or wherever you are, which is so genius. And once you've got it on one iOS device, family sharing allows you to put it on others without purchasing again. Sarah, we know moms want to be mindful of little kids and tech use, and with PocPoc, you really can feel good about the time your kids spend with the screen. Both Amanda and Katie from our team have raved about the ways their preschoolers have gotten creative with PocPoc.
PocPoc Playroom is a subscription-based app, and we're going to get you a whole year of creative digital play for just $15. That's half off the normal annual subscription. And because you're subscribed, the app will automatically update with new digital toys every few months. Go to playpocpoc.com/redeem and use the code MOMHOUR for 50% off an annual subscription. That's code MOMHOUR at playpocpoc.com/redeem for 50% off. And we'll share that link in the show notes too. Check it out.
Sarah, there was this meme going around during the holidays that said something like, every time a small business makes a sale, the owner does a happy dance. And that is so true. When you're a small operation, every sale really counts. So we were thrilled to launch our small business boutique back in November and to see how excited our community got about supporting fellow listeners by buying their products and services.
Yes, Megan, this is something we've been wanting to do for so long, and it really was just so satisfying to bring it to life. The Small Business Boutique is a landing page on our website where you can find a curated list of shops and services, plus special discounts and offers just for listeners of the Mom Hour. We've got shops selling clothing, handmade jewelry, delicious teas, and pretty tea towels, plus natural living resources and a personal assistant service, especially for family life.
Just head to themomhour.com/shop to check out the Small Business Boutique and see the special offers there just for you. That's themomhour.com/shop.
Okay, we're back, and I'm totally switching gears here because we just like nerded out for half an hour. I want to back up a little bit and kind of look at almost the psychology of being like a self-identified organized nerd, planner nerd, productivity nerd. And I hope you're both okay with that that terminology. But I think sometimes we can get a bad rap for being inflexible or not very fun or not spontaneous. And I'd like to push back lovingly against that reputation, and maybe you two can help me. So I would love to hear from both of you a way or a couple of ways that being intentional about planning and goals actually helps you and your family create more joy, maybe even more spontaneity, more fun. Like, how does being this way about planning bring more joy to your life? And Christine, we'll start with you.
Sure. I think this is such an excellent question. And I wanted to take a moment to just say to any, I can imagine this would be practically all families. If you are struggling with, I mean, everybody's going to be different in how they approach things. And one of the great learnings that I've had is I've always been an advanced planner. That's how I work. I need to know what's happening. And my husband is not. He is definitely, but it's not because he doesn't care. And that's what took me a little time to understand. It's because he legitimately wants to make a decision about he's feeling closer to the moment of the thing that's going to actually happen. And so I really respect that. And once I started to think about that more, I thought, okay, well, there are certain things in life that require planning ahead, especially with kids. I mean, if we want to go on one of those aforementioned ski trips, you got to plan that stuff ahead. Right. But there are a lot of other things that you can put on the calendar, put a pin in it, and just try to make a decision a little closer in when you have a better sense of, you know, what life is actually like. So I really encourage people to do that because it's a good, I mean, it's basically a mindfulness exercise. Okay. That being said, I did want to point out, and this is, I don't know if I'm getting a little woo-woo here, but I would say that one of the ways that I try to use my planning to build joy is I actually am using Todoist, not surprisingly, but to remind me of two opposing things that lead to joy. And one is reducing stress and the other is adding good things. So for example, an example of adding something good would be, let's say my 10-year-old Violet and I are watching The Great British Bake Off, but it's a Christmas edition and Christmas has already passed or it's soon to pass. I have literally put stuff in, like ideas about recipes to try or other things into my calendar to think about for November of the following year, which sounds a little ridiculous, but it's really great. And like, we have a good laugh about it when it happens. Stuff like that, just little things. And then the other thing on the reducing stress side is, you know, we as human beings have a very short-term memory when it comes to things being stressful and bad and unpleasant. So I actually put reminders in Todoist. So for example, 1 year, this was a few years ago, I had this like catastrophic summer stress meltdown. Like I actually went like face down in my office, could not move. It was like this weird like paralysis response. No idea what happened. I think I just had like a huge meltdown about life and everything else. I actually put in my calendar for the next year, the next spring, avoid summer meltdown. And and like took the steps I needed to do to, it reminded me the next year, I totally would have forgotten about it otherwise.
Yeah.
I actually linked to the Instagram post where I described the summer meltdown so I could really see how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And similarly, just one last quick example that brings it into the full family realm is this past summer, you know, my teenager girl loves to spend money, so she's got to make money. So she overloaded herself working hours at multiple jobs. But it meant that she was exhausted and it impacted all of the rest of her family members. Mm-hmm. So I literally tossed into Todoist a reminder for June 1st, 2022. I looked at it and wrote it down before coming to this episode, so I know exactly what it said. And it says, remind Laurel not to work as much.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love that.
Yeah. All of these advance reminders, you know, 6 months in advance, 12 months in advance, have been enormously helpful in jogging my memory about what's happening in life and, you know, sort of the bigger picture down the road.
Right. And it's sort of like creating an awareness of, I mean, life is going to happen. Stress is going to pop up. But you're right that we're not often very good at learning from those stressful moments. And so it to me sounds like you're using technology and planning and that forethought to like learn from the present moment. And not that it's like got to do better next time, not in that kind of a way, but just like to provide that gentle opportunity to grow, which is so cool. I also have to say that Brian and John, well, so I am both married to and business partnered with individuals who approach future planning much like you described, which is not out of lack of caring, but more like, how could I possibly know what I'm going to want for dinner on Friday? It's only Monday. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know what to grocery shop for if you can't tell me? You know, like that's an example of the natural home tension it creates. But like you, I have a ton of respect and I have learned so much from being partnered with people who approach planning like that. And for any listeners who just don't identify with the three of us, just know that you, like your approach to the world is so valued and so needed. We need it all to balance us out, I think. So, well, Sarah, how about for you? How does your planning prowess translate to joy and fun in your family?
Yeah, well, first, can I comment on Christine's last thing? I think it's like her current her caring for her future self. And I just think that's just so beautiful because it's so hard to do at that time, but you've like found a way to bridge that connection. And I'm so inspired by that. So I just.
And all the roads lead to Todoist, Sarah, apparently. I mean, come on.
I love it.
Yes. So, this is so interesting. And as you guys know, my podcast co-host for Best of Both Worlds is Laura Vanderkam. And she has made this point many times, which is like, if you're going to wait for spontaneous fun to happen and you have like five children of different ages, like you're going to be waiting forever. Uh-huh. It's just very hard. And once you have enough moving parts, if there are certain things you want to experience together, or perhaps even certain combinations of people you want to bring together, then the reality is that probably some kind of forethought is needed. I'm not saying that, you know, spontaneity doesn't sometimes result in wonderful things. I can think of some like last minute play dates that were thrown together that were wonderful. But, you know, if you want to get out and do certain things and your family has multiple people and perhaps multiple people that work different schedules, there's probably some planning that's going to have to come into play. So that's just like my reality check take on it, which is that like the idea of spontaneity is so nice and romantic and it can fit in when it fits in. But the idea that you know, you planning is bad, or that, I don't know, that it takes away from the fun of life. I think that's overblown personally, even though I do respect that there's all kinds of people with different perspectives on the world. But if I want to have a date night with my husband, I have to have scheduled a babysitter. Like, one is not going to appear magically out of thin air. Someone has to think about it. And in order to think about it, I probably needed to either put it in my planner or with you guys. Maybe you needed to put a Google Calendar reminder or put something in Todoist. So I guess that's just my maybe pessimistic take on spontaneity. But I think you can build in spontaneity where it fits. Like, there's no reason not to build some days where you purposely don't plan anything and you just kind of see what happens, or you designate a week of summer that's just like, let's see what happens week or whatever. As long as you can kind of get a balance of both. I think that that's kind of what works for many families.
Love that. Well, I think for me, when I think about how does my, you know, planning self help our family access that joy, I'll just co-sign a lot of what you both said, which is the big rocks, the ski trips and the vacations and the babysitter nights have to be thought of in advance. So that's one way of like carving out space. I think at like a more meta level, going back to Christine's poster with the 3-month view, when I can zoom out to that like 90-day level or right now, because we're going into the new year, even a 12-month look, I seriously get very zen. And it's like I was going to use a Beautiful Mind movie analogy, but now I'm going to use the Queen's Gambit because that's more recent, where she looks up at the ceiling and like the chess pieces just make sense to her in her brain. And that is how it's like I do think that my calendar brain is just in such a way that I can see opportunities. I can see potential, like Christine, you said, like potential times of stress, like, oh, whoa, we got a lot going on in this month, so I'm not going to plan anything else. Or like, oh, we don't have a lot going on in this month, so there's an opportunity there. And I think, I guess I see that almost as like a little gift to my family. Like that is how my brain works. It's not how everybody's brain works, but I'm going to use it for good. And the biggest way I use it for good is actually keeping things out of our calendar and out of our lives to avoid that feeling of overscheduled stress, because I don't do well. And if mama's not happy, you know how the saying goes. So I guess when I calendar plan, it's as much to prevent crowding or overscheduling as it is to like put a bunch of fun stuff on our calendar. And I feel like I'm sort of like a little ninja, like with a sword, like slashing away the potential interrupters to the things that are like important to the core of our family, you know, togetherness, rest, play, downtime. So I don't know, maybe I'm inflating my own importance, but that's kind of how I feel about that role. And I'm curious if either of you relate to that role in the family.
Well, I was just going to piggyback on what you said, which is like, sometimes what planning is actually planning in for that blank space, which can otherwise, you know, be taken, especially again, maybe by work or by others' demands. And I think sometimes planning gets a bad rap because people think about, oh, planning means cramming in as many to-dos as possible. Right. But I think that you're exactly right. Like a lot of times you actually have to plan in the fun things. You have to plan in the lack of too many things. That's all part of it. And so, yeah, I guess I just wanted to highlight what you said about planning to make sure things are not being overdone.
Right. Yeah, I'll piggyback on that and just say this is something I think about all the time. I mean, actually, well, first I'll just say that it was so interesting during the height of the pandemic when really everything came off the calendar and it was just empty, 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 you know, to go from that to see how fast people hit the ground running when things started to open up. And I felt like there's an opportunity for people to think a little bit differently about how they fill their calendars and to add a little more intentionality about it. And something that Asha, who was my podcast co-host, and then we also wrote Minimalist Parenting together, you know, one of the things that I talked about in the book back then was this idea of really taking a Goldilocks approach to calendar editing. And weekly editing is something I do routinely. And it's literally, I actually think, probably because I used to be a scientist, but I think if people are feeling very overwhelmed by their calendars, it's a good opportunity to collect a little data, mm-hmm. maybe just look back 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever seems doable. And the Goldilocks approach is just jot down like what weeks felt you know, mind-numbingly boring, how many events you had on the calendar that week, you know, what weeks felt absolutely bonkers, and then what felt just right. And then you'll know kind of, okay, this is what my family can tolerate as a system. Mm-hmm. Because every choice, this is another thing that I really constantly talk to parents about too, is that every choice any one person in a family makes impacts everyone else. Like it has to, whether it's needing a ride somewhere or, you know, needing some level of coordination. So, you know, every week is not going to be perfect, but at least if you know and have that information, you can work on shedding off some stuff. So if I find that I've got a week where it's really over the top, like way off of my Goldilocks level, then I'll start rearranging things, seeing what I can drop, push forward. And it's really helpful to have a little, you know, mindfulness around that for sure.
I love that. I love all of that so much. Well, our last kind of topic here to discuss is future focus, looking at 2022. And we've talked about the systems we have relied on, and I know we haven't even discussed them all. But I'm very curious if either of you personally are going to try something new in terms of organization, goal setting, and planning in 2022, something you haven't tried before, or maybe something you used to do and you'd like to get back to. So what's something from your planning life that you'll be trying anew this year, Sarah?
Yeah, so I did get a really beautiful journal that I am going to keep next to my bed. Journaling is actually not something I've done much of. I guess maybe because I have a blog, maybe that's filled that need. I don't know. But it's called the JMB Living Journal, and it's really just like daily reflections and gratitude. So that is something I'm going to try. And this is planning adjacent, but you mentioned my Instagram break, and I am going to try to kind of be off of social media for the entire year. I already kind of put away messages up in November, and I haven't really touched my accounts since then. So that's going to be a big adventure that might kind of impact my planning and kind of what gets planned and goes into my life.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Christine, how about you? What newer thing are you going to try in 2022?
I'm smiling because, well, I want to see all of Sarah's things, like all of them. I just need pictures. And now I'll either have to troll your old Instagram or just, you know, we'll just
have to
be.
The show notes, Christine, will be a treasure trove.
Okay, I'm counting on you. Okay. Well, aside from that, I will say that the thing that I'm kind of about to laugh when I say this, because this is not normally my thing, is being more of a kind of big picture hierarchical person. I tend to be mired in the details, honestly. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying for myself in 2022 is to do a little capacity planning for myself, meaning I tend to go about my days and I just open Todoist and I just try to knock all the pins down.
Yeah.
I will engage in a little high level. Okay. Kind of what's like, where are the anchors in the day schedule wise? Like what are the key things I need to get done? But largely I'm knocking pins down. I had a realization recently. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm a creative director. The company for which I was a creative director became acquired, and we've had to be a lot more intentional thinking about hours and capacity. And so I realized, okay, if I'm working 25 hours a week as a creative director, this was never so specific before in the former company.
Right.
And I'm working 10 hours a day. That means I can think a little more intentionally about how I want to spend those other 5 hours of the day. And that's actually like kind of great. Like, okay, where are my 5 hours is a lot of time. Like I can plug in exercise or a walk with my husband. I can plug in a daily writing practice, which I'm going to say here for the first time, I'm putting myself on the hook to write 1,000 words a day.
Nice.
You know, stuff like that. Like it's just a very different way of thinking that I've not tried before. And now I'm going to try to level it up. And I got to look into Sarah's like the full focus planner or other things, because maybe I can do daily on paper, like my big picture capacity plan. I don't know. Sarah, give me the answers later, but
we'll take this offline.
We'll take it offline. But I'm really excited about it. I'm just looking forward to a different way of looking at my time.
I really relate to the knocking down pins, because that's the way I respond to time and tasks as well. And Megan, my business partner, who couldn't be more opposite in the way we think about organization and productivity, but I learned so much from her. And Christine, you should also offline with Megan about time blocking, because even though Megan often, like, she internally is a rebel when it comes to structure and schedules, and she uses that to her advantage in a lot of creative ways, but time blocking has worked really well for her and batching tasks, and she goes in and out of it, but it's fascinating. And that's when you were talking, it reminded me of like there's a finite inventory of hours and time. And I'm sure Laura Vanderkam's, all of her work would fit nicely in here too. But like that, I love that. That's all I'll say. I love that concept of like kind of looking at your capacity and then maybe even batching tasks or anything like that. Sarah, how does that sound to you, or what more can you add?
Yeah, well, I have two things that I love that idea for Christine, because it sounds stressful to have it like, how many things can I get done? Like, you know, I do think you might benefit from sitting down at the beginning of the day and being like, what things should I get done? You know, like, yeah, not necessarily what things can I get done, but like, what should I get done? And then what can I do for myself? And maybe paper will help you lay that out, or maybe you'll use a digital tool. And this all reminds me of like Cal Newport's work on time block planning as well, which is really, really interesting. So I guess I just wanted to mention that as a resource for anybody like that wants to learn about like one take on that method. He will get super into the weeds on how he likes to do it, which isn't necessarily how I like to do it. But Christine, maybe that like might fit into how you're looking to structure your days.
Look at all of you, both of you, solving my problems. I'm so into it.
This
Thank
turned
you.
Into turned into therapy a little bit. It could go another hour, but we will make sure in the show notes too, even though this is a little sidebar about time blocking, because I know Megan has done some of her own like methods too. And then what she'll do is take a method and be like, yeah, I don't like that. And she'll make up her own, which is also great. So we will link to some time blocking and I like capacity planning, as you said, Christine. So for me, new for 2022, I have been very gradually starting to go slightly paper with the way I look at my calendar. And I'm never going to let up on the digital. Like Google Calendar will never stop being, again, that engine that's always running behind the scenes. But I ordered for myself an Erin Condren planner with my initials on it. And I will link to the one I ordered. It has some monthly pages and it has some weekly pages. And I'm not sure exactly yet. It sounds like double work, right? To have like everything digital and then to copy it down every week. And I don't think I would do that down to the minute or the appointment level, but I still think that having a planner open on my desk with a physical place to jot down notes, I got kind of into habit tracking in 2021, writing down the shows that we watched and the podcasts I listened to. And it's really fun to make a physical note of things like that. So I feel like I am a little bit in both worlds of paper and digital, and this will be the first year I have had a true paper planner, I don't know, in 20 years or something, like since the internet came about. So that is definitely new for me. And then separately, I would really like to try a password keeper app or system in 2022. So I am open to both your recommendations as well as listeners. Just that is an area that I'm so organized in all aspects of digital life, but passwords are a hot mess. So that is a little goal.
Can I toss in a really quick recommendation? Only because, so one of the many things I do, I'm obsessed with sex ed, and one of my clients is all about sex ed. It's amaze.org. But I had, because I work with them, and sometimes people on their internet are terrible, I actually took a digital safety training with them. And one of the password keeper apps that people were raving about, the people who were doing training, was LastPass.
Okay.
So anyway, they recommended a bunch of them, but that's the one that's been on my list. That's actually something on my list too for 2022, Sarah.
I love it. I hear a few names that are often tossed around and I just hadn't really looked into them. So Sarah, any that you would rave about?
No, I use the Apple, you know, No, it's not my Apple Notes. Okay. That doesn't sound secure. No, like, you know, when you are using your iPhone or computer, if Safari saves it, you can just put your fingerprint on and it will like fill in your password. But I will admit that strategy backfires if I'm ever like away from my own device.
I have
a hard time figuring it out. So I'll get on the train too. I'll have to figure it out. But I just wanted to say, I'm so excited you're trying an Erin Condren. Those are such beautiful planners and I think you'll enjoy using it.
I'm so excited. We are recording this on December 29th, and I was a little late to the game. Like, the real planner people order their planners in, I don't know, September or something. And so this is not usually the sandbox I play in. So I ordered it in early December, and it is supposed to arrive today. So as we record this, I will have a little time with it before we crack open that January 1st. And I'm very excited. So
just so you know, Sarah, I'm going to check your Instagram stories later today because I expect to see a photo. Just saying.
I know.
Pressure's on.
I love it. An unboxing, if you will. Okay, well, ladies, this was so much fun. And I know most of our listeners, I feel like, know you like friends because they listen to your shows and they follow you online. But for anybody who is new to both of you, just let's talk about where to find you and your work. What's the easiest way? And if you're particularly excited to plug something that's coming up this January, please promote yourself. That is, I strongly believe we all should. So take it away, Christine.
I guess I don't have something specific to plug, but I'll just say that the easiest way to find me is my website, christineco.com. It links up everything I'm up to. I have a newsletter that I deploy fairly irregularly, but with thoughtful essays that you can't find anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And my favorite places to play online, actually my favorite place to communicate with people really is Instagram, but on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, people can find me at Dr. Christine Co.
That's right, Dr. Christine Co. I love it. And Sarah, where is everybody going to find you not on Instagram in 2022?
Yes, not there, although you'll find links to where I am there. So the best way to find me, all the podcast show notes and my contact is via my site, which is theshoebox.com, theshubox.com. And my podcast is called Best Laid Plans if you want some planning stuff. And I also co-host Best of Both Worlds with Laura Vanderkam. And we have a Patreon as well. So if you're interested in a community, if you're a working mother and just interested in kind of joining that community, then we're open for more participants.
I love that. Well, and you both, the door is always wide open. You've both been on this show multiple times, and I would love to have you back anytime. This was just so delightful. And I am wishing you both a happy, healthy, productive 2022.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. And I want to mention a couple of things here before I sign off. First, I know a lot of people have kids home unexpectedly this week. Daycares are short-staffed, schools are experiencing delays or even closures again, and we know individual families are needing to isolate and quarantine again. I hope you are all hanging in there, and I really hope you check out our sponsor, PocPoc Playroom, if you have kids ages 2 to 6 and an iOS device in your home. That's your iPad, iPod, an old iPhone. You get the idea. I cannot say enough good things about this company, PocPoc, and the app, PocPoc Playroom. It's calming, it's screen time you can feel good about, and seriously, kids love it. Go to playpocpoc.com/redeem and use the code MOMHOUR for 50% off an annual subscription. So that's play, P-L-A-Y, PocPoc, PocPoc.com/redeem, and the code is MOMHOUR. And then finally, I can't wait to chat with Kelsey from the Girl Next Door podcast on the same topics that you heard Christine and Sarah and I discuss today. If you're interested in hearing that conversation, be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Mom Hour and look for that live chat on Monday, January 10th. Fingers crossed, that's when it's currently planned for. And again, we'll save that for later viewing too. So if you miss the live, check the show notes for this episode or look right in our Instagram profile and you should find it there. That is it from me today. Happy New Year, friends. Megan and I will be back on Sunday with a More Than Mom episode all about our own goals and intentions for 2022. So I will talk to you then.